more praise. Amen. 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 Will you turn in your Bibles just for a moment to the book of Job? We're going to start a series on that's called A Beautiful Struggle, and talking about suffering and trials for the next few weeks. But we open up from Job, a very familiar book in the Bible that is beloved by all. And I'm just going to read, amen. I'm not sure what's going on. Can we, amen. I'm going to read from Job 1, verses 6, amen, through 12. Job 1, verses 6 through 12 to start our discussion today. In Job 1, from the, please stand for the reading of God's word. From the NIV, it reads as follows. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now fetch out your hand, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Nope. Amen. I want to talk from the subject, A Beautiful Struggle, and how do we honor God in our struggles? How do we honor God in our struggles? And I do want to, you may be, remain seated, but through all that Job went through, he still honored God and did not curse him. And in this verse, in terms of honoring God, you look at Job 2:10, and he replied after his wife had told him to curse God. He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, the Bible says, Job did not sin in what he said. How do we honor God in our struggles? The title of this series, A Beautiful Struggle, comes from Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, which is entitled A Beautiful Struggle. Really, in that book, it's about growing up, him growing up in Baltimore in the midst of crime and drugs. And it chronicles his seeing so much injustice and so much pain and suffering. I guess what I want to pose to you this morning is that all of us, no matter who you are, no matter what your pedigree, no matter what your class, no matter what your race, no matter how much money you have, all of us are going to experience some trouble and some struggles and some pain in this life. Do I have a witness here this morning? No matter who you are, all of us are going to experience some suffering and some pain. We are reminded of this kind of struggle. And just last week in Alabama, two tornadoes touched down and killed 23 people and counting. Yesterday, I was talking to Elijah, who Lodge brother had some family members down there, and he said, Pastor, they wiped out, the tornadoes wiped out all of his family down there. That is pain and suffering. Many of us pray that we will never have to experience. And one disaster, natural disaster, his family has been wiped out in Alabama. I'm talking about pain and suffering. On Tuesday, Deacon Lazelle, we're going to put to rest her son, 53 years old, or 53 years young. That's pain. No parent wants their child to die before they die. Also, on that same day that Linwood died, Coach Wells, how many of you knew the football coach, but he too had gone to a football game, a basketball game, to see his son play basketball. On the way back, a drunken driver went down the wrong way of the highway and had a head-on collision, and he died. All of us are going to experience some pain and struggle. Sometimes those struggles are a surprise to us. They come with the loss of lives. They come with the loss of our children. They come with the loss of our jobs. They come with the loss of relationships. They come sometimes with the loss of our health. But as long as you are human, you're going to experience some pain and suffering in this life. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? The theologians call this dilemma the theodicy problem. And it simply goes like this. If God is good and God is all powerful, why do bad things happen to people? If God is good and he has the power to stop the accidents, he has the power to stop the catastrophes, he has the power to heal your body, how can God be all good and all powerful and these things happen? It just doesn't make sense. And I get the dilemma, but may I suggest to you that there is another reason, and that is sin has entered the picture. That is, since the fall of man, that things don't happen as God would like them to happen. That's right. That things happen because we live in a fallen world. Yeah. Things happen because God has given us free will. Yeah. But there's a dilemma that we have to wrestle with about God's all-powerfulness and God's in control, and then the presence and the impact of evil, sin, death, and despair. Job was wrestling in the book of Job about this very question. How can a good and just God allow all of my children to die in one day? How can a good and just God allow all of my wealth to be taken from me? How can a good and just God in Job 2 allow my health to be taken and me to be looked at and despised? You see, suffering is a part of life, but it's still hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with when God has allowed your health to go down. It's hard to deal with when our loved ones die. It's hard to deal with when relationships break up. It's hard to deal when our wealth is gone. It's hard to deal with when our health is gone. And Job asked a question that many of us asking, why, God? Why am I suffering? He petitioned God, knowing that even if he was not perfect, even though the Bible says he's righteous, this unmerited suffering, this intensity of my suffering, I have not warranted this kind of suffering. You see, Job asked the question that many of us ask, why am I going through what I'm going through? Somebody say, why, God? I've been reading a book called Wandering in the Darkness by Eleanor Stump, and she adds some fresh insight to the problem of suffering. in that book, Wandering in the Dark, the first thing that Stump says is that if we're going to deal with our suffering, if we're going to keep our faith, we must first realize no matter what happens to us, that God still loves us. Someone turn to your neighbor and say, God still loves us. No matter what happens in your life, if you're not going to lose your mind as you go through trials and tribulations in this life, you must believe that God loves you no matter what. And in that book, Stump identifies God not only as loving us, but she supports her theory about God's love. And not only God loving us, but how much God actually loves all of his creations. Yeah. Yeah. In Job 37, if you turn to that book, it talks about Job questioning God's, not his power, because he understood he was powerful, but questioning God's goodness. And in answering Job, he answers the reason of suffering is not because I don't love you, because I love all of my creation. Now, if you turn to Job 38, when God begins to cross-examine Job on his limited knowledge as a creature, because that's who we are, he's the creator, and we are creatures, he says in Job 38, come here, Job. Were you there when I laid the earth's foundations? In verse 7, he says, while the morning stars sang together, all the angels shouted with joy. In some verses, it says, all the sons of men shouted with joy. Put a pin right there on the sons of men, because we're going to come back to that. And then he says in Job 38:11, when I said this far and no more come, and no further, here is where your proud waves halt. He's talking to the sea. He's speaking to the sea as though so the sea was a living being. I want us to get that. He's speaking to nature as though they are living, because in God's eyes, everything he created is living in some way. In 19, he says, what is the way to a mode to the abode of light? What is the home of light? Where does darkness reside? Do you know the path of its dwelling? I need you to understand this line of inquiry of God himself. In Job 38, he says, to satisfy the desolate wasteland and make it sprout with grass, does the rain have a father who fathers the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice, who gives birth to the frost from the heavens. What is he saying in verse 38, 41? He said, who provides food for the raven? I don't want to take up much time, but when you go back to Job 38, according to the author Stump, that God is laying out for all of creation. Somebody say all of creation. That he is a father. He's taking on a parental role. And he's saying that he spoke to the sea and said, don't go no farther. Like a father tells a kid, don't go out those doors. Don't get in that swimming pool. He spoke to the sea and gave its boundary. He spoke to the light and said, where is your home? He spoke to the bird and said, who will give nourish you? I am a father God. Now, why is this important as we study Job? And I tell you that as you suffer, you need to understand God's great love for you. This is important because in Job, and this blew my mind, God is actually even showing love to Satan. Y'all got quiet on that. If you go back to Job 1, we find, remember, God is showing in a parental way that all of his creation, not just humankind, everything he created, he is a parent that loves and nourishes and provides for them. And then if you go back to Job 1, we find God having a family. Somebody say family. a family gathering. In Job 1:6, it says, one day, the angels, and in many translations, again, the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. That was a family gathering. God's creation came to the family gathering. And guess who was there at the family gathering? Satan. That uncle that comes in drunk. That Satan. That uncle that you don't know if he's done something to your child or not. Satan. That family member that always comes in raising. God is so loving that even Satan is inviting to the family gathering. So you don't have to worry about God not loving you when God can even cast out that devil and still say, Satan, you are still invited into my presence. And then not only do we need to understand that God loves Satan, the Bible says, and according to the book, which I think adds fresh perspective, God asked Satan, where have you been? And I know all of our theology up until that point really analyzed that in a way that I have always understood it to mean that God somehow was just asking Satan like he didn't know where he was. It wasn't about that. If we keep this analogy of God, Satan being God's creation, it is like a child who is out of favor with a parent. You know that child has been up to no good, but you know what his problems are. You know he's smoking a little weed, he's drinking, he's hanging out in the wrong crowds. So when you ask him where he's been, you know where he's been has been up to no good. God is saying to Satan like a parent, where have you been, Satan? When he said that, he said, I know you've been undermining my will. I know you've been trying to destroy my creation. You've been trying to badmouth me. But in asking the question, according to Stump, which I love, God was really still being loving towards Satan. Because when God asks a question, he's not asking a question because he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's asking a question to get us to reflect on our wrongdoing. And so when we look in the Bible, when God asked a question, he was asking questions about folk he still loved and cared for. When God asked a question to Adam, where are you? In Genesis 3, he knew exactly where Adam was. When God asked a question to Cain, after his sacrifice was rejected, why are you angry? He knew already what was in Cain's heart. When God asked a question to Cain, where is Abel? He knew already that Abel was dead by his hand. But God did not destroy any of them. He still cared for them. And God is trying to tell us, my love is so great that even Satan, I created. But I'm still hoping that even Satan will reflect. I'm still hoping that I can pull him a little closer to me. God's love should blow your mind. That even Satan is at the table. And he's still trying to get Satan to understand what he's doing out of his will. Then God, according to Stump, says, God asked the question that we've always felt unrelated. He says, after he says, where are you? And Satan says that I've been roaming to and fro. When he says I've been roaming to and fro, according to the book, he was saying I've been restless. No matter where I go, I don't feel
at peace. No matter where I go, I don't feel at home. Wherever I go, I feel like I should be somewhere else. Wherever I go, there's no peace. I mean, you know, when you're outside of the will of God, you're going to be restless. When you're outside of the will of God, your mind, your spirit is going to be roaming, because the only home we have where there's peace is in God's will. Satan says, I've been roaming. And then God says, Michael, have you considered my servant Job? Keeping with the apparent analogy, God was still connecting where Job, where Satan was, and where he had been. And then he says, have you considered my servant Job? That's like the parent saying, I got a good child. Come on, somebody. Who's been following my will. He's been trying to bless me by doing the right thing. And he was trying to sell Satan that Job ain't like you. Can I get you to see what Job has been doing? And maybe you hard-headed son, maybe you're hard-headed creation, you can be inspired to bless me like Job. Satan says, well, he ain't blessing you for nothing. You got a hedge around him. I like the insight of Stump, because Stump said, how did Satan know there was a hedge around him? Come on, somebody. He had already tried to mess Job up. He had already tried to kill his kids. He had already tried to destroy his wealth. He had already tried to get in, and he couldn't get in. But God's love is not only to Satan. God's love to Job. God did not deny that he had given him favor. But I want you to know this morning that Satan wanted God to strike Job. So the next point is, not only if you're going through a struggle, you need to embrace the love of God that can even love a Satan. And even try to encourage Satan. You know, if God doing that for Satan, he inviting them in, you good to go. Amen. But it also shows, when you're going through, know that every time we go through, it doesn't mean that it's by the hands of God. I want y'all to see this in the text. When in the text in Job 1, Satan says in verse 11, when he says, ask about Job, Satan says, stretch out your hand. Now he's telling God, you stretch out your hands and you strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Now we can have debates on why God allowed Satan to come at us, but again, we live in a fallen world, and as long as we have the presence of sin, we're going to have these kinds of things. We're going to have sickness and death and despair. But the Lord said, remember that inquiry, you stretch out your hand, God, and you touch Job. Yeah. But the Lord said, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man, his body, do not lay a finger. I know you may not see that nuance, and I didn't either. Satan says, God, you strike him with your hand. God says, no. I'm in my loving hand. I'm not going to strike him. But I'm going to let you, Satan, take his children. I'm going to let you, Satan, destroy his wealth. Every time we go through something, we shouldn't see that it's God who's doing it. But guess what? God has allowed Satan to do it. You need to understand that it's not God, it's evil. It's not God, it's sin. It's not God, sometimes it's us. I know y'all don't want to accept that. But sometimes we bring in our own suffering. If you're going to go through whatever you might be going through right now, you need to know that God still loves you. You also need to know that it's not God's hand that is doing it. It's Satan after you. Somebody say Satan is behind it. My brothers and sisters, this text shows us that God loves us and that sometimes God allows Satan to bring in tribulation, to bring in suffering. But it's all God. The good news is Satan can't do nothing unless God allows him to. Satan and God are not co-equal powers. He has to come and get submission submission from God. So we need to understand that. Thirdly, we need to understand that your suffering has a purpose. You need to understand that God is not without purpose. That everything God allows, everything to come into your life, it has a purpose. Somebody say suffering has a purpose. We see this. We see this in the life of Job. Because Job suffered and honor God in his suffering, every time we lose somebody, every time we go through trials and tribulations, for centuries, we have a book that tells us we can make it. God has a purpose in our suffering. We see here that in this book, we find that God, through the suffering of Job, gives us comfort when we lose loved ones. When we go through tornadoes in life and storms in life, we don't have to worry, is God ever allowed this to happen before? We don't have to worry about if God is with us. We don't have to worry about if God is letting Satan overwhelm us, because we can go to the book of Job and say everything is going to be all right. We see that God had a purpose in Job's suffering that brought him closer to God. Turn to Job 42. And 5. See, if you just don't give up, through all of your tears, through all of your pain, you will find that you are closer to God than you were before your ordeal happened. At the end of all of Job's suffering, we find in Job 42:5, after he had to say he's not going to curse God and die, as he had to really do away with friends who were not really friends. He said after God had cross-examined him on his limited knowledge of God himself, he found that he had found a relationship with God that he did not know existed. He found that he had known God in a way that he didn't know him before his suffering. In Job 42:5, he says, "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." Job said that I've been praying all my life for my children. And you blessed me, God. You gave me great wealth. You gave me 10 children. You gave me a status in my society. But in all of that, all I could do is wonder about the goodness of Lord. I could study my word. But now that I lost everything, now that my health is back, now that I got 10 more children, now that I got more wealth than I had before, you even came to me. We have underestimated how good God is when we're in the valley. Don't you know that because of all that Job went through, that this is the longest conversation in all of the Bible that God has had with a living individual? God didn't have this long, extensive conversation even with Jesus in the New Testament. Do you know how long God spent with Job because Job had suffered and not turned his back on him? We got 2 chapters. Come on, somebody. God understood Job's suffering. And God spent time with Job, Now, he had to tell him how ignorant he was. But God spent time saying, where is the home of the east wind?
That's right.
Where were you when I formed the perimeters of the earth's foundations? But as we get into God's cross-examination, we forget that God has taken time out to spend with Job. And Job says, I've been to hell, but now I see. Now, it wasn't a visible thing. We know God is holy, but God was so close. He had heard God so intimately. He said, I heard, but now I see. My brothers and sisters, when you suffer, know that God loves you. You're a part of his creation. You're part of his family. When you suffer, you need to understand it's not always by God's direct hand. He allows it, but he has a purpose in mind. Somebody say, God has a purpose in mind. That's why one of my favorite verses, you all should know it by heart by now, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Somebody needs to understand that God is working it out for your good. Tell somebody, God is working it out for your good. Lastly, in this beautiful struggle called life, when we are suffering, not only do we need to understand that God is so loving as our parent that nothing will ever change his love for us, we need to understand that God is not directly involved in our suffering, that sometimes he allows things to happen, but it has a purpose. Lastly, we need to understand that when we are God's children, that suffering never has the last word. In Job 42, we find that at the end of it all, the Lord blessed Job and blessed his latter life better than his former life. He gave him more wealth. He gave him 10 children again, and he gave him great status again. I like in our devotion, the second day of our devotion, when you understand that suffering and despair and death doesn't have the last word in God. In our devotion, Oswald Chambers gave us the picture from Romans 8:38 that says we're more than a conqueror through him that loves us. He gave the picture of a surfer who has to ride a very turbulent wave. And many people would panic on that wave and would maybe even drown in that wave. But a surfer is so skillful and knows what he's doing that he rides that wave and it gives him great joy. Yeah. And Oswald Chambers said that when we are in God, no matter what we're going through, when the waves of life come, we ride our tribulation, we ride our suffering, we ride our pain, and in that riding, God gives us great joy. What is he saying? He's saying in a different way that just like Job, now I heard of you, God, but now I see you, God. And when we see God, we find joy. Romans 8:37 says, know in all these things, tell your neighbor, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And I like that last part that we're going to end on. Come on, Moriah. Through him who loved us. He says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other power, nor height or depth or anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Come on, let's give God some praise. No matter what you're going through, we need to give it to God and realize that he is right there limiting what Satan can do to you. And if you'll just keep the faith, everything, somebody say everything, everything is going to be all right. Come on, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Lord.